All right, so I am beyond super, super excited to be up here. I think I've always wanted to share what God's built up in me, but it's funny when you're presented with the opportunity, your mind doesn't exactly get all excited. You get more like super nervous and scared, and so I'm so thankful to be up here, and it's been really neat to listen to each of the women because I might have one new verse for you because they've covered them all. But God knew that, and He has a plan, and I know He's got something for you from what I've got. So let's see. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just praise You for this opportunity for these women to come together to study Your Word, because it is in the truth of Your Word where we'll find peace, where we'll find comfort, where we'll find salvation, not only eternal, but day to day. And I praise You and thank You for that gift to us. And I just pray that we would redeem the time and not be wasteful. So I pray that You guard my words today. I've got a fire right now, but I also know that I tend to let my mouth run over. So I pray that You would guard that, and that only Your truth would be spoken today. I pray that You'd open the eyes and eyes of the hearts of the women here to hear Your truth. And Father, that the fire would spread, that we may be women on fire for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. So, on a side note, really quick, I've always used the verse, be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen in James. And I just recently found out that that verse actually pertains to learning scripture. I always used it for my kids, and I said, you know, be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen, and I think it scripturally does apply. But specifically, quick to listen, slow to anger, isn't that an interesting thought when you're learning scripture? We so quickly get defensive, and sometimes we don't want to hear what the scripture has for us. But I just want you to know that in this preparation for this class, I was kind of like Gloria. Well, I was a lot like Gloria. I have black and blue toes, and I cried a lot. So in preparing for this class, God taught me a lot. And so I just pray that if He has any teaching for you, that your hearts would be open to it, and that you would know it's the Word and it's not me. So, I have a very simple message for you today. It's very simple, but it's not easy, and we're going to use the word simple for an acrostic. So I'm sorry I don't have a fancy slideshow, but it should be easy to, or simple to follow, because I'm just going to use the word simple to go through. So I have opened the door. I have O for open the door and be ready. So exciting. I'm so excited for this. So the first letter is S, and we're thinking about the supernatural power of the Word of God. And as Jess, my husband, and I have gotten into ministry, probably one of the things that we've noticed the most is the lack of people realizing the supernatural power of the Word of God. Let's start with 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed out by God. We've probably all quoted that 100 times, but do we believe it? Back in Genesis, God spoke and the world came into existence. This is the Word of God. And if we put it inside of us, what can God bring into existence in our lives? The Word of God is supernatural. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We can do good all day long. We can say good things all day long, but I know a lot of people who are doing that, and there's no There's no power behind it. And the word of God is supernatural, and it starts in our thinking. And if our thinking isn't based in the word of God, there's no supernatural power there. So Nan covered Hebrews 4 wonderfully. And I just love Hebrews 4 because it's all about rest. And that's where we're going to find that supernatural power. You see so often women, even just on social media, which is probably the worst place, where we just quote scripture all day long. But then you see them and they're like, oh, be anxious for nothing. And then they're over there like this. And that's not the word of God. If we're being anxious for nothing, people should see that peace within us. And so Nan showed us that the Israelites did not enter the promised land for lack of faith. And it says in, I believe, Hebrews 3:19, and so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. This wasn't a lack of salvation. This was a lack of faith in who their God was. They didn't know who God was. And how many of us have the same problem? We don't know who God is. If you don't know somebody, how can you trust them? And so I would just encourage you to dig into the Word of God more and more, that you may know your God more, and that you may experience the supernatural power of His Word. The most awesome verse ever, recently for me, is Hebrews 4, and it starts at three, basically. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'm going to read that again. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. What does that tell us? That when we fear anything, whether we're not going to have enough money to pay the bills, or we're not going to have what we need, it just goes on and on and on, and the anxieties that we have, do you not realize God has the package already prepared for you? When I was invited to teach this class, I really wanted to, but I prayed about it, made sure that's where I was supposed to be, but God already had exactly what He wanted to say through me, already prepared since the foundation of the world. When our family stepped out 3 years ago, we've had a lot of things that we questioned of whether or not God would provide. It's not that maybe we had a lack of faith, you know, and that's hard to admit, but we didn't know our God as well as we know Him today, and we'll still have days that we struggle. But to know that God will provide, what peace does that give you? Not only that He'll provide, but He already thought about it. All the way back at the foundation of the world, He thought about it so much that He prepared exactly what you needed for when you needed it. So whatever you're anxious for right now, consider that. God already thought about it from the foundation of the world, and He has it ready for you. Do you know your God well enough to trust that He's already got it provided and to rest? You know, without waiting, there's no faith. So if you don't have to wait for something and you just get it, you didn't get the opportunity to practice faith. That's kind of hard to swallow sometimes, especially when our culture tells us that we shouldn't really have to wait and we should just get it right away. We've had to wait for a few things recently for a very extended, long period of time. And it just occurred to us, you know, the more your faith goes, faith upon faith, He's going to make you wait longer and longer. Because if this was easy for you last time because you learned that faith, well, the next time He's going to make you wait a little longer, and can your faith go there? And once you've conquered that, knowing who He is, that He can take care of that, it gets longer and longer. So it's always just a try. It's to keep your eyes focused on Him and to grow closer to Him. So S is supernatural. The letter I is for the word I. We all know that probably our biggest struggle with an open door for God is me, myself, and I. We get in the way of ourselves. And I could give you a million verses that the Bible has about selfishness and pride, but we're not going to go through those. We don't need a definition. We can just look at ourselves and see. But so often we say, we want to open the door, you know, we want to be available for God to work through us. As long as I can have my cup of coffee, you know, in the morning, or as long as my house is warm, because if I'm not warm, then I can't really serve him properly, right? Or, you know, God, I want to serve you as long as I can keep my job, because if I don't have my job, then I don't have the finances to do what you called me to do, right? No. I'm not saying you have to give everything up. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I just would encourage you to ask yourself, are you even willing? Have you told God, whatever you want, Father, is yours. I just want to serve you. I just want to do whatever you've called me to do. And you can take away whatever you want. That goes back to trusting God, knowing who he is, resting that, okay, if I give all this up, and if he's asked me to give this all up, and I give it up, I know that from the foundation of the world, he's prepared the next thing for me. Okay? It's a great comfort you can find. So a couple of verses for the word I is Acts 20:24. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. I do not consider my life of any account. And Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I've been crucified with Christ, and I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. And when we come to that realization, Christ died for us. I just want to give him everything. I'm so thankful for what he did for me that the only way I know how to say thank you is to give him my whole life. And so, supernatural, the word I, and then the next letter is M. And for M, we'll do moments. Moment by moment. Living life moment by moment. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. We've all heard of trench warfare. It came about in World War I. And I just want to read you a little thing. I love the idea of thinking of the Christian life as trench warfare, because so often, maybe as new believers, I'm not really sure, but we just look at the Christian life as this big moment. Like, oh, I got to get up here and speak. That's a big moment. That's the Christian life right there. Or social media is really good at that too. They just pick up this one big moment, and that's the Christian life, and then that's what we work towards. But really, the Christian life isn't that at all. The Christian life is the trenches. The Christian life is the moment by moment, decision by decision, grind. And so, I don't know if you've ever read anything about World War I or the trenches, but I just wanted to read you. That's not my phone. I have most of it here. I'm just missing like the top. I don't know why I didn't print out well, but anyways. A little bit about trench warfare. This is from a website, the New Zealand history website. So most people look at war, I guess, as facing machine gun fire and enduring terrifying artillery barrages. That naturally dominates historical accounts of the Western Front, but in reality, large-scale battles were rare. Most of a soldier's time in the trenches involved tedious scheduled rotations through various trench lines and rear area billets, which are non-military facilities where soldiers were temporarily lodged. Excuse me. Individuals spent only a few days a month in a frontline trench. Daily life here was a mixture of routine and boredom. Sentry duty, kit and rifle inspections, and work assignments, filling sandbags, repairing trenches, pumping out flooded sections, digging latrines. Any free time was usually spent reading or writing letters or diaries, playing cards, or trying to snatch a few moments of sleep. Still, life in the front line was always dangerous. Snipers, bullets, and stray shell bursts were constant hazards. Periodically, the trenches were subjected to heavy artillery bombardments in support of raids and patrols or against groups of troops moving up to the line. Apart from the Germans, the New Zealanders' biggest enemy on the Western Front was the mud. Indeed, the flooded trenches and churned landscape of the battlefields are among the most potent symbols of the First World War. This was particularly evident at Passchendaele, which was notoriously sodden due to the wet weather and the high water table of this low-lying area, much of which was reclaimed marshland. Conditions were made much worse by the shelling, which had disrupted normal drainage. Finding a dry spot to rest or sleep was often a challenge, even though pumps were used to remove water from trenches and dugouts. Many troops succumbed to trench foot, a fungal infection caused by immersion in cold water. Rats and lice were soldiers' constant companions. Rats, having gorged on corpses, allegedly grew as big as cats. Lice were the then unknown vector of another common wartime ailment, trench fever. So it just gives you an idea and help. It's just the perfect picture to me for the Christian life. Because, yeah, there are big moments like this, but we don't get to the big moments like this just by the big moments like this. It's the day-to-day life, the trenches, the getting through sickness and dealing with a sick child or disciplining a child or just
laundry.
Dishes that never end. Just the boring stuff, or like I just cleaned that floor and it's dirty again every 5 minutes. It's never ending. And so it's those moments that build us up in the Christian life and make us ready for the big battles. But you have to go through those moment by moment. And so 1 Peter 1:16, I didn't think that anybody was going to hit on it, but you did. Be holy for I am holy. And Romans 12:19-21 gives us a huge list of things that we're supposed to be doing. Impossible through our own power. It goes back to S, the supernatural power of the Word of God. That is how we get through the moment by moment. When the washing machine is overflowing and the dog just went to the bathroom on the floor and the baby's crying, do we blow up or do we rest? Do we faith rest in the power of God working through us? And we take a big deep breath, and we take it moment by moment, and we grow in that moment. And it's those little moments that build so that we do become and can become mighty warriors for Christ and have the faith rest and the peace that we all want to claim, but very often isn't truly claimed. All right, so simple, S-I-M-P. P is for pray. Again, already covered, but that's okay. For years, I've prayed that God would teach me how to pray, and I saw little things here and there that he was showing me, but it was just this last year. This is kind of embarrassing, like, admission, but just this last year, I had two pretty big things coming up, and I was just praying, pretty anxious about them. My husband's like, well, I'm praying with you. And I'm like, I know, but I physically have to go do this on my own. And it was very overwhelming to me to consider. And so I just prayed about it and studied. And so I remember coming home on my way home from the second thing that I had to do. And I just kind of was, wow, that was really easy. That was so not at all. Why did I build it up to be such this big thing? And it was like God was smacking me. It was like, because you prayed. The victory is won in prayer. And it was the most eye-opening and relieving thing that he has showed me as of late, that you just go to him in prayer. You know, a lot of times we're so busy in life, we don't choose to go to him in prayer any time before except for like right before. And then there's no preparation there. We're not training as a soldier. We're just panicking. We're like a civilian thrown into warfare, and we have had no training. And so pray, study, and allow the Holy Spirit to apply, and the battle is won in victory. It is just the most reassuring, and again, building on that faith rest, that God is who he says he is. He says to go to him in prayer, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There was one little thing. Oh, I skipped a little thing I wanted to go back to real quick, which kind of has to do with prayer, but as far as feeding your soul the word of God, a soldier going into battle, not just hungry, but starving or on very meager rations, and yet the general has provided a feast to keep his soldiers strong, healthy, and prepared. He has provided a feast for us every day. He has it ready for you. Are you willing to take that step of faith, that moment-by-moment decision? The trenches, it starts right here. Because the enemy doesn't want you to be there, and your old sin nature definitely doesn't want to be there because that's really boring, you know, and it doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So when you make out that decision to dig into the Word of God and feed your soul because it's starving, and you want to feed your soul to prepare yourself for daily battle, everything's going to come against you. Everything. So I would just encourage you that it's quality, not quantity. If you have 5 minutes, if you have a small child and you don't have any time, then scoop them up in your lap and read 2 sentences. Start somewhere, and your soul will show you how hungry it is, and you will just desire more and more, and you'll be able to take more and more time to dig into the Word. Let's see, what else on prayer? Oh, yes. This is the coolest verse. Psalm 5:3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch." Do you pray with confident expectation that God will answer your prayers? Yes. Or do we pray doubting? That's awesome. Yeah. And it takes a while to get there. It's just not going to come naturally to just start trusting everything that the Bible says. We have to build faith upon faith, and doctrine upon doctrine. And the Bible tells us to pray according to the will of God. And I know a lot of times we default back to, "Father, thy will be done," which there's nothing wrong with that. That is, I do that all the time. I know a lot of people that do that all the time, and that's great. But as you dig into the Word of God more and more, he'll clarify more and more for you. He gives you that discernment and that understanding. And there will come a time when you actually see, this is where God wants me to go. This is his will for my life. And it is the coolest thing to pray his will. Not saying, "God, your will be done." But saying, "God, this is the step I know you want me to take. And I pray that it is done. And I pray that you would clear the way. And I pray that you would change the hearts of those who are in the way." Whatever that may be. We recently had a situation like that where we knew exactly where God wanted us to be, but we saw human thinking of other people in the way. And we struggled, both of us. We're like, well, we know this is God's will, but we also know people have free will and they can choose against God's will. But then we're like, but God is greater than their free. I mean, he can change their hearts, or he can do whatever needs to be done. And if we're praying his will to be done, it will be done. It's just very freeing. Again, it goes back to that faith rest, and the supernatural power of the Word of God is awesome. So, if you don't know the will of God and you're just starting to read your Bible, that's great too. And you can start just praying that God's will would be done. But what's awesome is there is a lot of verses in the Bible that actually say, "For this is the will of God." And you can just search for those verses. And one very simple one is 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. It says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That sounds super simple, and you may just kind of brush it off. Excuse me, like it's no big deal. But to truly consider, do I give thanks in all things? That's the will of God. Do I do it? Even when the washing machine's overflowing and then the dog went to the bathroom on the floor and the baby's crying, am I giving thanks to God? He says that's his will. So very simple, simple, straightforward things that God has laid out in his word for us. All right, simple, but not easy. Supernatural, I, moment by moment in the trenches, pray. And then L is line. So I'm going to start with a couple of verses for L. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Psalm 119, 116 says, "Sustain me according to thy word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." In 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God." So lying may seem like a really weird word, but God just keeps bringing back to me over and over again, drawing the line. And the only way I can really give you I have a very personal example, and I think it's okay to give because I don't think there's anybody here that's pregnant. And so therefore it doesn't maybe not specifically apply to you, but you can understand the concept of what I'm getting at. So we have four children, and the first three we had at the hospital, and every single time I felt super led to not get an epidural. Like, I just really didn't want to get one. I just wanted to just do it naturally. But every single time, I was so afraid, and I'd get in the middle of the labor, and I would just be so fearful, and I'd ask for an epidural every time. So our fourth child, we got pregnant, and I was like, I'm not getting an epidural. And God just really placed it heavily on my heart. Now, does that mean that an epidural is sinful? No. Does it mean that doctors and medicine is sinful? No. But for God, he was calling me, "Will you draw this line?" Because I was living in fear. It had nothing to do with getting a simple epidural. It was, I was afraid, and I wasn't trusting in my God. I was living in fear. And so he said, "Are you going to draw this line? Are you going to trust in me?" And so by God's grace and love, we had our fourth child at home, and he tested me so much that the midwife didn't even show up in time. So it was wonderful, though, but that's my example of drawing the line. It's different for every single person because every one of us is at a different point in life, and that's what I love about each of the ladies who got to teach today and yesterday, because there's no comparison. Like, yes, they may have talked to you specifically, one more than another, but I can guarantee you, each lady that taught spoke to somebody specific, right where they were at. And they, each lady, drew their line where God called them to draw their line. God called me to draw the line and say, "Don't write all your stuff down. Step out in faith and just let me talk," which is hard. So what line is God calling you to draw? And the reason why I picked the verses that I picked of not being ashamed, because it says not to be ashamed of the gospel, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're having to go out and evangelize. It means when God has called you to step out in faith and rest in his word, are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? Are you nervous that somebody might judge you or that you're going to step out and nobody's going to follow? And you're going to be standing there alone. Don't be ashamed of the hope that is in you. Rest in the supernatural power of the God, of our one true God, who's given us all we need from the foundation of the world to do what he's called us to do. Our God is a great God. All right. The last one is, actually, I was kind of thinking about doing it first, but you have to do it in order, right? Is E, so it's simple, eyes on Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. All of this becomes way easier when we fix our eyes on Christ. The perfect picture, of course, is Matthew 14:30 with Peter walking on the water. He steps out. He's got his eyes focused on Christ, and he's rocking it. He's walking on the water. And what's he do? He takes his eyes off of Christ. That applies in every one of these letters. Before we apply it to everyone, let's just break down the Greek really quick. Fixing our eyes is really, it's awesome when you break it down. I don't know how to pronounce it, aphoreo, maybe, is in the present tense, and it means a habitual action. We are to continually, habitually fix our eyes on Christ. To look away from something else, to see distinctly, to consider attentively. So we're looking away from what's around us, and like a racehorse with blinders, we're looking forward to Christ, keeping our eyes focused on Christ, which is not easy in this world. There are so many distractions, especially in the United States, especially materialistically. There's so many distractions. When you break a phoreo, if that's how you say it, up, it's broken into apo plus phoreo. And so phoreo equals look, see, or behold, but apo equals from, away from, off from, and shows separation. So really, a definition that really hit home for me is apo can be a marker of dissociation, implying a rupture from a former association. It pictures the separation of one thing from another with destruction of the union or fellowship of the two. It conveys the idea of away from, separation, departure, cessation, completion, and reversal. So I guess what I really loved about that was separation of one thing from another with destruction of the union. So rupture from association, rupture from my association with a sin, rupture from my association with my selfish self, rupture from association with unintentional living. It's fixing your eyes on Christ is a rupture of whatever else you could be distracted by. You're disassociating with that. You're going to fix your eyes on Christ, and you're going to move forward. And that works through every letter that we went through. It's supernatural power of the Word of God. I've heard so many people say, I can't understand it. I just read it, and I just read like a couple chapters, and then I just get so frustrated because I can't understand it, so I just put it down. Well, that's what the enemy wants. And also, do you trust God? He says the Word of God is alive and powerful. Do you trust Him? Then keep reading. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that teaches you. It's not how smart you are. It's not what schooling you've had. It's the Holy Spirit. So you step out in faith, and you just keep reading. And God is faithful. He'll provide. He'll teach you. He'll show you, and He'll grow you. He's an awesome God. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. That's easy with the letter I, because you take your eyes off of self when you have to focus on Christ. And it's so much easier to live when you don't have your eyes on yourself. Because when you get your eyes on yourself, what do? You have a pity party, right? And that's fun sometimes, you know? Like sometimes you just want to stay there. Just saying. Just being honest. moments, day-to-day moments and decisions. You have a million decisions to make every single day. If you take each decision and you focus on Christ, the decisions are so much easier. And the more you're in the Word of God, again, He gives you that discernment. He gives you clarity. He shows you. I don't know how many times I've told other moms, like, the more I'm in the Word of God, the more my decisions are very black and white. And when you have children running around like crazy, sometimes it's like you can't even think clearly. And it becomes really gray. But the more I'm in the Word, oh, stuff going on over here, and all of a sudden I'm like, Mom, so-and-so did something. And by God's grace, He gives me the discernment, and I know what discipline needs to happen. And I know that that's the Word of God. Because when I'm not in the Word, I let things go, and I don't discipline consistently, and I don't love on them consistently, and I'm just focused on self. And so the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it is so wonderful. I just encourage you to just make it a priority to get into it. Again, if you just start with a little bit, your soul's going to be hungry, and it's going to start craving it more and more. Focus your eyes on Christ in prayer. I just have to say, Bob Ann's husband used to say, true prayer requires true thought. If you can, take the time to be alone with God for just a short while every day. It's so worth it, because I know I have a hard time clearly thinking when there's so much chaos going on. But true prayer requires true thought, and to really be able to do that alone time is so wonderful. Drawing the line, again, keep your eyes focused on Christ. It doesn't matter what your friends think or what your family thinks. It matters what God thinks. And if he's calling you to do something, that has eternal weight to it. And your family or friends judging you for it, it may be hard, but I'll tell you, it's so worth it to step out in faith, to rest in his word, to rest in what he's calling you to do, and to do it. One last little thing, and then I'll wrap up. The question isn't, am I willing to evangelize to this person, or am I willing to get up and speak, or am I willing to move, or am I willing to give up my job? That's not the question. The question is, do I trust God? Will I say yes wherever he leads me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just praise you, and I thank you for these women, and I pray, Father, that this would have been an encouragement to them to focus their eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Father, the least we can do is to live a life fully devoted and sold out for you. I praise you, Father, for this opportunity, and I praise you for your love. And just lift up these women as they go out to their lives, and pray, Father, that you would encourage them and give them the energy and the desire and the love for your word to honor and serve you with their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.